Welcome to the Food for Your Souls podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. When someone asked Jesus, what's the most important thing in the whole Bible? Jesus didn't hesitate. Love God. We pray this season of the podcast will help you and your loved ones grow in love for God.
The solution to every sin is trusting in the grace that comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us grace to trust. We respond by trusting. He responds by granting more grace. Back and forth, back and forth. That's fellowship with the second member of the Trinity. And it's a delightful experience. Trusting is really a sweet part. I think one of the sweetest expressions of love is trust. You know, if a woman is afraid and she runs into the arms of her husband and in his arms she suddenly feels safe, that is one of the most delightful and sweet and healthy exchanges of love. It increases the love of both the husband and the wife for one another. Trust is a wonderful aspect of love. So, first means of grace, first way to get grace, faith. Number two, second way to get grace, spiritual gifts in the church. The purpose of a spiritual gift is to dispense grace from the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this in 2 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So, each Christian functions as a steward whose task is to dispense a particular form of God's grace. That's what we do here at the church. We are stewards dispensing grace. So you spend time with certain Christians and you will receive strengthening grace. You spend time with other Christians and you will receive comforting grace. And then you spend time with some other Christians and you get knowledge. And others, discernment. And others, conviction. And others, protection. And others, compassion. The people of God in the church are like shelves on a store, and every shelf provides some unique grace through Christ. You look at all these people sitting around you. It's just shelves just stocked full of grace. And you can just pick. That's why you're crazy not to come here, if you can come. There's so much grace available through the spiritual gifts. And not only do you receive grace from the Lord through our gifts, but you also receive grace from the Lord through your own gift. And here's why. Romans 12:6. We all have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So, the use of your gift is a receiving of grace. If I have the gift of teaching, every time I use that gift to edify the saints, I get grace out of the deal. I receive grace. When grace flows through your gift to others, it flows through you. And you benefit from it. In fact, your very ministry itself is called a grace from God. When Paul refers to his ministry of preaching, he referred to it as a grace from God. Ephesians 3:2. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, verse 7, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me. Verse 8, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles. So your ministry, whatever it is called a grace. And it's not just Paul, it's us too, Ephesians 4:7. But to each one of us, a grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it. We all have our own unique calling, which means we have our own gift of grace which we have received. And when you use it, you actually receive grace. So, how do you have fellowship with the giver of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ? Number one, by trusting His work on your behalf, and trusting in His promises. Number two, by being ministered to by all the saints in the church through their gifts, and ministering to all the saints through your gift. So, faith, spiritual gifts. Number three, humility. 1 Peter 5:5. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's pretty straightforward. Humble yourself, you get grace. Isaiah 66:2. This is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and who trembles at my word. That's who gets grace. That's who gets grace. It says, this is the one to whom I will look. One writer commented on that verse and he said, humility attracts the gaze of our sovereign God. It attracts His gaze. He'll look towards you. Isaiah 57:15. For this is what the High and Lofty One says, He who lives forever and whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place, but also with Him who is contrite and lowly in spirit. So you get grace through faith, through spiritual gifts, through humility, and then the book of Hebrews gives us a fourth way. Through confident prayer. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When you come to God in prayer in a timid way, just questioning His love for you, reluctant to even approach Him because of your own unworthiness, hesitant, apologetic, doubting whether He's even listening to you, doubting His willingness to be gracious to you, that makes it less likely that you will receive grace in a time of need. But if you come to Him like a son, God responds to that. It honors God when we act like sons, treat Him like a father when we approach Him boldly in prayer. So we receive grace through faith, through the spiritual gifts, through humility, through confident prayer. I told you there's four. Let me add a fifth. There's actually five. Through the Word of God. Acts 20:32. Now I commit you to God and the Word of His grace. So we receive grace from God through the Scriptures. That's why we're all here right now, right? That's what we're doing here. We gather here every Sunday morning to receive grace from the exposition of the Word of God, the Word of grace, so we can receive grace. So, when you do those five things, how do you know if it's worked? I mean, how can you tell if you've actually experienced this fellowship with the Son and received grace? You did the five things, and it's like, well, did I get it? Did I get any grace? How do you know? How do you know if you got grace? If you're hungry and you eat a meal, you can tell that you've had the meal by the fact that your stomach feels full and you now have more energy. That's how you can tell if you've experienced food. How can you tell if you've experienced grace from Jesus Christ? Well, it's similar. Instead of a full stomach, it's a full soul. Right? But what does a full soul feel like? I mean, that's a figure of speech. What does that feel like? What do you get when you get grace? Well, when I went through all the instances, every time the Scripture talks about grace, I found a few things that it says that we get from grace. Here, one of them is empowerment. When you get grace from Jesus Christ, it empowers you. When you receive grace from Him, it's kind of like Popeye eating spinach. Right? It increases your strength, increases your ability to accomplish things in the kingdom of God. Makes you stronger. Acts 4:33, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. They experienced the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it resulted in power. Power to accomplish things in the kingdom. 2 Corinthians 8, Paul tells about the amazing things that the Macedonian churches were doing. Those people were in deep poverty and suffering horribly, and that poverty and suffering welled up in rich generosity and overflowing joy, according to verse 2. Now that is just crazy. How's that possible? How can going through horrible, painful suffering and agony and poverty cause generosity and overflowing joy to well up inside you? How does that happen? It does not happen naturally. You get the power to do that through grace. Only through grace. 2 Corinthians 8:1, and now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. So you know you've experienced the presence of Christ and you've received grace from Him when you are strengthened and empowered to have godly affections and godly actions and godly attitudes. It's always through grace that we gain access to that power. 2 Corinthians 12:9, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest upon me.'" Again, the result of grace, power. So you know you've experienced grace when you get the power to do what God calls you to do. And even the motivation to do it, even the motivation to work is the result of grace. 2 Corinthians 15:10, "By the grace of God I am what I am, and this His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." The effect of grace on Paul's heart was that he worked harder than everybody else. Grace gets you moving. It gets you moving. Don't ever let anybody tell you that grace is somehow opposed to effort and striving and hard work. Sometimes people say, "Well, you know, if you're striving and if you're working hard, then that's the flesh. You're operating in the flesh." And they twist grace into this kind of let go and let God kind of idea where you just sort of sit passively on the couch and wait for God to act. That's not grace. The result of grace is hard work and success in that hard work. That's what grace does. Empowerment. That's one thing. And the primary thing that we need that power for is righteous living, right? Defeating sin, fighting against impurity and sin in our lives. Titus 2:11. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." If you want self-control, the way to get it is through grace. Grace empowers godliness and self-control. Another byproduct of grace, when you're receiving grace, the way that you can tell you're getting it is when you feel comfort in a time of trouble. Comfort and help. Hebrews 4:16, we saw this already. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So anytime you have need and you receive help in that time of need, you know that you've received grace from the Lord Jesus Christ. What else? I mean, there's a few things. What else? Well, let me add just one more. One more benefit you receive from grace, and that is everything. Everything. 2 Corinthians 9:8. "God is able to make all grace abound to you." Why? What happens when all grace abounds to me, Paul? "So that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." The more grace you get from the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you move towards sufficiency in all things at all times. That's grace. Somebody told me gold is going for something like $1,750 an ounce now. Pretty valuable stuff. Platinum's worth more than that. I read last night, rhodium is worth like $2,500 an ounce. Grace is worth more than all of it combined. Grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We would love to hear from you. Your thoughts about the materials in these studies are important to us, and they may be helpful for others as well. A link to this podcast is posted on the Food for Your Soul Facebook page every weekday morning. You're invited to follow that page and post your reactions to that day's content. Your perspective might be just what someone else needs to gain insight. And when a session is especially helpful, feel free to click on the share button so others can find it too.
This content has been provided to you free of charge by the generous supporters of Food for Your Soul Ministries. For information on how you can support Food for Your Soul, visit us online at treasuringgod.com. There you'll find over 1,000 sermons, as well as articles, books, and many other resources, all available for free download.
Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.